We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is a Locker Room Production.
Yeah, let's talk some Lions football now.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the dead time of football. This is one of the, you know, most driest time in football right now. I'd say like right after the draft until I would say around like mid-July. It's like when you start to get excited, you know, right before training camp. Like as training camp approaches, that's when you start getting excited for football. But, you know, we got to talk football still. It's still in our blood. So, Pierre, what are we talking about today? And first of all, what are we starting off with today?
So first, we're going to start with how is Campbell different than Patricia in camp and just kind of like in general, sort of.
Okay. So how is Dan Campbell different than Matt Patricia?
Oh, before we get started, though, we're going to talk about our topics and then we're going to have some Q&As. So we'll let you guys up once we're done talking. We have like a couple of topics to discuss about and then you guys could come up.
The question is, how is Dan Campbell different from Matt Patricia?
Yes.
They're literally different in every single aspect of everything, of the human life, of everything. They're different. They have zero similarities. I don't know if the results will work with Dan Campbell's. I mean, I guess that could be a comment if it fails, but as a person, as a coach, they're completely different humans. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I also want to bring up, like, so the media members noticed that, like, Patricia kind of used to, like, butt in every meeting and stuff. Campbell just lets his assistants do their work. Like, he just watches it. If he sees something, obviously, or if he wants to teach something, he goes up. But he doesn't kind of, like, take over. You know what I mean? You know, Patricia, like...
Yeah, I mean...
Campbell's, like, more hands-off, kind of. He trusts his assistants.
Patricia tried to be the smartest man in the room. I mean, that was his problem. We all knew that.
Yeah, I mean, as a head coach, obviously Campbell's never been an X and O's type of guy. But, you know, you want to see him step up and, like, see what he could do. I mean, like, it's just – I think we're all wait and see. Like, I can't judge Dan Campbell until an actual game happens. Like, all this stuff in OTAs, all this stuff in training camp, it's cute, it's pretty. But I'm never going to know anything about Dan Campbell until I see his actual game management skills. And we only have a very small sample size of that. It was him being an interim head coach in 2015. So once we see more of, you know, his game management skills, because that's what you're getting with Dan Campbell, because we know you're not getting a playbook or a philosophy with Dan Campbell, or, I mean, you're getting a philosophy to a certain degree, but you're not getting, like, the X and O's with, you know, with Dan Campbell like you are getting with, like, a Matt Patricia, for say. Like, with Campbell, you're getting a guy who's just going to fire up your guys. He's going to get the best out of his guys, kind of like a Mike Vrabel to a certain degree. But and he's going to have to manage the game. But he's not going to be one of those guys where, you know, it's his philosophy. It's going to be relying a lot on the assistants. And, you know, that's something that we expected. And it's just something I can't judge. And I can't say it's going to work or not going to work this early on. It's like I have to see at least a preseason game, at least one preseason game for me to judge what we're going to have in Dan Campbell. And even that, it's going to be a very small sample size. But, like, I need something. Like, this does nothing for me.
I'll say this, man. When he was a coach in Miami, when he took over in 2015, he did a hell of a job. On top of that, he had time to pretty much learn the game from Sean Payton. So that's also another plus. So yeah, I'm with you. I can't wait to see how he manages the game as well. But yeah. I think he's going to rely a lot on a lot of the assistants to just do their job. I think that's what Patricia didn't do. Patricia didn't give – it felt like he didn't give his assistants the power to just, you know, do their job. Like, he was like – he wanted it is his way or it was a highway, you know. But I think Dan Campbell has a different mindset, and he's going to let these guys do what they want to do. And we're going to see, man. I love our staff, man.
And Malcolm, how many times – or even Pierre, how many times during the season were like, this is not Daryl Bevel's offense? This is not Daryl Bevel's offense. And then, as soon as you know, Patricia gets relieved of duties and Daryl Bevel's, you know, the new interim head coach, it's a completely night and day, right? Like, on the offensive standpoint.
Davern is just automatic on fire. He's throwing bombs. Like, it's not
it wasn't a coincidence. Bumps. So that's the thing. It wasn't a coincidence.
That's what I'm saying.
Patricia wanted to
control the clock type of game and just keep his defense out of the field, and even when they were down 14 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he still wanted to do that. I don't know why, but
So I will say there is a problem with Dan Campbell's philosophy, in my opinion. And the one problem is with Dan Campbell's philosophy is let's say these assistant coaches are phenomenal or they freaking suck. You're either going to lose these assistant coaches to different teams because they'll get head coaching gigs, which is good. But when you're relied on staffs really heavily and it's really good, it's hard to replace those guys. So, we'll see.
Not necessarily, because you can always have a guy. Yeah, you can have a guy that runs a similar scheme. Maybe for example, if Anthony Lynn, you know, gets another head coaching job, promote Deuce Daly.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Tennessee Titans, kind of what they did. You know, they had LaFleur, he was their OC, and then Arthur Smith was the guy they groomed, you know, behind LaFleur, and then he did completely fine. He got himself head coaching job, so it's gonna be interesting. Could Tennessee keep up their offense that they've been doing? And I think they will. So I guess it's not a problem. You're right, it's not a problem. Anthony Lynn's gonna have a guy he's gonna be grooming, you know.
Yeah.
All right. If it goes well, Here's another question. Sewell said, playing right tackle is not easy as it is. Like you said, adjusting to it has been difficult. Are you guys worried about that?
No, hell no. I'm not.
I'm not worried either. Okay, let's get into our next topic.
He's just a good football player, man. He'll get it.
So Jared Goff has actually looked good in OTAs per report. Stan Campbell said a report, and then some beat writers were down there. He's impressed. What are your thoughts on that?
You can ask me, or I'll say this. I seen this happening. I knew Jared Goff had something to prove, man. I knew what we saw from Jared Goff last year. I knew that wasn't the Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff knows that, look, I played at a high level before, and there's no reason why I can't play at a high level again. So, yeah, he has a lot to prove, and, you know, he's going to show the world, I think, this year that he's not a scrub. I think a lot of people look at him as a scrub.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm going to say the same thing for Jared Goff as the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing I just said about Dan Campbell. I got to see at least a preseason game to see something. Going up against practice is something. It's cool, but it's just, I don't know.
How many times have you seen they'll say, oh, our defense is performing well in training camp or OTAs?
You take it with a grain of salt, man. Like, you're playing your own teammate. There's no pads on right now. I don't know. He's throwing a ball around. There's no guys coming at you. It's a completely different game.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not going to say, you know, this is going to be the result of Jared Goff. I'm not saying he's going to stink. I'm not going to say he's going to be good either. I got to see it. I'm not going to go either way. You know, I just want to see before I go all in and say, Goff is what we see in OTAs is definitely 100% going to translate to the regular season, because I can't say that right now.
Tyler, let me ask you, Tyler, what is your prediction for Jared Goff this year? Right now, what we had to say about Jared? What do you think his season going to be?
I think he will be not a top 15 quarterback in the NFL this year.
God damn, not a top 15,
and
not even number 15.
No,
God damn,
and I think. We'll be having a conversation next year before the draft is
about quarterbacks.
About quarterbacks, I do. It's just I don't believe Goff is the franchise quarterback for the Lions.
You still don't?
I gotta see from him. We're talking about practice here, you know. Like you could look good in practice, but how do you look in games? Like we're talking about OTAs too. No pads on, nothing.
Talk about practice.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Look, let me ask you though, guys. Really, like, if the offensive line is what we think it is, you still don't think you could be a top 15 quarterback?
Okay. Pierre brought it. This was like a couple weeks ago. Pierre brought this up to me. That was very interesting. How about when the Cleveland Browns had a top offensive line and still almost lost every game?
Oh, come on. Do you know who was their quarterback? Baker Mayfield. Not Baker.
DeShone Kizer.
No, it wasn't DeShone Kizer. It was when they had a top 15 offensive line. It was Johnny Manziel.
Oh, it was Manziel. It was Manziel.
It was Johnny Manziel, man. He's the worst QB of all time, man.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, I know, but come on, man. he's awful.
I mean, I don't know.
Let's get into our next topic.
What about his weapons? Hold on, real quick. What about Jared Goff's weapons?
Yeah, they're bottom.
I know. Right. But this is the thing, man. We just need one breakout player. And what I'm saying, like, if Swift becomes that breakout player, then what? Or if TJ Hockenson becomes that breakout player, then what?
Those like, guys are expected to break out.
I'm looking at the Lions. Like, I looked at my Knicks this year. Yes, I'm comparing this to my New York Knicks. I had no expectation for my Knicks in the offseason. And you guys are my witness. Remember in the draft, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you picked up this guy. I was like, I don't care. We're gonna be ass anyway. Like, I don't care. And then guess what? We had one breakout star. We had Julius Randle breakout. And then we were a 4 seed. And I think that something similar could happen to the Detroit Lions.
The NBA needs one guy, though. In football, you need a whole team.
Yeah,
I get that. But what I'm saying is that we just need a breakout. We just need a breakout player on offense. Okay, and like, for example, if that breakout player is DeAndre Swift, I think, who knows?
What's considered a breakout for Swift?
Expected to break out, but like when you look at the receivers, forget about the backs and tight ends. Let's just look at the receivers, like the wide receivers. You have Chavo Williams, who dealt with a lot of injuries. You had Perriman, who, according to reports the other day, he didn't really have the best OTA session.
And he's just mad in general.
You have a rookie in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You have a second-year guy in Quintez Cephas. Didn't really show that much last year. We'll see how he looks this year. And you have the kid who opted out, Jimo. Geronimo Allison.
Allison.
Guys. You have Kim Raymond,
There's a few other undrafted
Raymond, and then Ratley. So you don't really have much at wide receiver right now. Like the guys I just mentioned, most of them are probably wide receiver threes on really good teams.
Yeah. And on paper, it looks disgusting. I get you. I 100% get you. It looks disgusting on paper. Like nothing looks good on paper right now. But I mean, if one player breaks out, it probably opens it up for everybody else. Like for example, Swift breaks out. Guess what? Oh, guess what the defense got to do now? They might have to stock the box. Who knows? You might have to stock the box. And then that leaves one-on-one and outside. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you never know. So I'm just in waiting to see, man. I think we could have a breakout star and it could open for offense.
Okay, so let's get into our next topic. So Okuda actually has been CB1 in camp, but Awarie and Dunbar have been splitting reps. And I think Ife has been in there too, Ife, splitting reps with those guys. Who do you guys think are the week 1 starters at corner? And are you worried that Dunbar is kind of could take away Amani's job, or do you think the best guy should win it? The best player should win it.
I'll start here.
Go ahead.
So I think Okuda will be starting on one of the opposite sides for sure. And then I think as far as corner two, I think this is a battle to watch all throughout OTAs, and once training camp comes, you know, available for fans. I think this is a battle that we're going to be watching. In the preseason, this is a battle we're going to be watching in training camp. Who wins this cornerback 2 spot between Quentin Dunbar and Amani Awarie? And it's going to be really interesting. You know, obviously, for the sake of, you know, building a team and having young players, you hope Amani Awarie wins the battle. But we've seen way too many times the NFL and then this business, they're going to go with the best guy, and that's who they should go with. So, you know, obviously, I think all Lions fans should be pulling for AO because AO is still on a rookie deal, whereas Quinn Dunbar is only on a 1-year deal. So, like, AO is a guy you want to win and you want to really impress and just take away that spot. But, you know, we've seen way too many times in the NFL. If you don't impress or if a guy's beating you, they're going to go with the better guy. So, I'm cheering for AO, but I don't, like, Quentin Dunbar has shown to be a good corner in the NFL. Like, he's shown he could be a very good cornerback too. So it wouldn't completely shock me if he's the starting cornerback week one. I'm just going to go with my fan sick. I'm going to put my goggles on, and I hope this guy wins. So I'm going to say Jeff Okuda, AO, are the outside corners, and I think Corin Elder will be your nickel corner.
Yeah, I think Elder is kind of like
– I think he's kind of the lock. I think he's just the lock. I don't know who else would compete with him.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you on this one, man. And I'm more of, you know, just let the best player, you know, start.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Dunbar or whether it's AO, hell, whether it's Iffy. You know, get the best players on the field and have them start. But the way it's looking right now, you know, Amari Warrior wasn't Dan Campbell's guy.
He wasn't.
So Amari Warrior has a lot to prove. And I think that they're looking and leaning toward experience because Dunbar has more experience than Warrior. So they would Amari is pretty much Dunbar's job to lose, I have to say, because I think they're going to lean toward experience. Amari Warrior could, you know, take the job, but he's going to have to shine. Like, he's going to have to ball out and prove that he's a better corner and better option than Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, man. All I know is the future corner at number two is going to be.
Yeah. I think
100% going to be Iffy.
I like that you brought up that AO's not originally a Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell guy. What the hell was that?
Da, 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 da.
Man, that scared the hell out of me. Okay, my fault. I like that you brought up AO is not originally a Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell guy, and you know, that he was inherited from the previous regime. And we've seen like a lot in the NFL. It's a politic game. Like, if you're not a guy that I drafted, you really, really have to impress to get that job and like show that you could be that guy, because the NFL is a politic game. Like, Brad Holmes is going to do in all his power to get rid of all Matt Patricia's guys. You really got to show up. You got to really show up.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say he's going to do everything in his power to get rid of his guys, but I'm saying, like, if he drafts a guy to compete over a guy already on the roster, he's probably going to give his guy a slight edge because he drafted that
player.
I'm
saying, like, he has a slight, you know, crush for Morfrey, Fatu Melifon with Amani Ori, 100%, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. In the future, that's his job.
Yeah.
He's 100% going to be corner number two in the future. Probably next year.
100%, but we'll see.
It's his job to win, though, from Brad Holmes's, for his eyes right now, at least. Like, he thinks he has the potential to be that guy.
Yeah.
All right. So sticking into the secondary, the Lions now have, at safety, they have Tracy Walker. After that, everything is kind of a question mark. Who starts? Dean Marlowe, Will Harris? Could it be one of the undrafted guys?
Hey, Peter, don't forget my boy about D'Angelo Amos.
That's what I said. Could it be one of the undrafted guys? Could it be one
No. You didn't see his name.
Practice squad, Jalen Elliott or Bobby Price or DeAndre Amos.
Please do not bring up Bobby Price. I've seen enough of Bobby Price.
You don't think Bobby Price has a chance?
Bro, no, you don't remember Derrick Henry literally grabbing one hand and
That was Price. Damn, I forgot about that.
I don't need to see Bobby Price.
He tossed him.
I mean, to be fair, it's Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he does that to everybody, man.
To be fair,
he does that to everybody.
It was his first game.
So are you guys worried about the safety? Because it seems like the Lions aren't as worried maybe as we are. I don't know. They just haven't, like, went out and signed. There's some solid vets out there.
What do you think, Pierre? You've been advocating for a vet for a minute now. What do you think?
Yeah, what do you want back there?
So I think right now the jobs to lose is probably going to be Dean Marlowe, if I had to guess. But I personally want them to go sign, like, give a chance to Malik Hooker or Trey Boston, or Kenny Vaccaro, just one of those guys. Throw them into the mix, see what they could do. Maybe the Lions are high on some undrafted guys they've taken. I don't know. Or they're high on some guys on the roster right now.
You think it's Dean Marlowe's spot to be the starting strong safety week one?
You don't think it's Will Harris is like this
Do you guys realize what you just said?
No, but like I'm just saying Dean Marlowe's the guy you're counting to be the starting strong safety?
Yeah, the reason why I say that, like, okay, so you look at Bills fans when they lost, and they were kind of upset. Like, he's a Bills fan favorite. He was their safety three last year.
Okay.
I feel like Marlowe could kind of take over, like, be the safety two, and then Will Harris will be the safety three. That's what I think it is right now, but we'll see. I'll see what happens in training camp.
Yeah, that is an interesting take because I don't really know much about Dean Marlowe, honestly. So,
me
like,
neither.
So, that yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Will Harris is a good football player. He hasn't shown anything. But, I mean, right now, if I had to pencil it in just from, like, past knowledge and, like, not really knowing – I mean, obviously, the staff knows a lot more about Dean Marlowe than I do. But if I'm just, like, penciling what I thought, like, right now, like, I would put Will Harris as a starting safety right now. Just from what, like, the depth on the team is right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Will Harris as a starter. The guy can't tackle. And he wants players who could tackle. He wants his corners to be willing tacklers. Like his secondary guys.
To go to more to your point, I do think they should bring another safety in. You know, just, like, bring him on a one-year deal because they need some veteran experience back there. Because they don't – oldest guy in that room is, like, Tracy Walker. Or, like, at least the most experienced guy in there is, like, Tracy Walker.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
This is our last topic, and then we'll get into some Q&A. So, guys, the linebackers are interesting, right? They signed Alex Anzalone. Jamie Collins is still here. They drafted Derek Barnes. But the most interesting thing to me is Tavai lost 17 pounds or something. Was it something like that? And he's apparently looked a little, like, I don't know. I don't want to say faster, but maybe quicker. Do you guys think the staff could fix him? Or do you think he's kind of on the bubble right now?
All right, we could open up the Q&As right now.
Why? I wouldn't. Yo, this is a very important topic, and I think this is very important. This is a very important topic.
What do you think? So, Tavai's going to be fixed?
If Tavai is fixed, I know I already have like a pre-written letter for Chris Oates saying, I apologize, you're right. I know this is your boy. I'm sorry that I tried him all year. I thought he had brick feet, but apparently he doesn't. So if he comes out and balls out, man, and, you know, he lost 17 pounds, and they're saying he's just a little bit quicker. I think the way Dan Campbell kind of, like, brought it up is that, like, he told him that he had to lose his weight because he needs his linebackers quick. He needs quicker linebackers. And he probably saw the tape of, like, yo, this is not working. You're either going to lose this weight or you cannot be on this goddamn football team. So I think, like, he lost the weight, so I'm interested to see how he looks on the field.
Yeah, and they also
how he reacts.
He came out and said the other day, I don't know if it was Campbell or Glenn or one of them, but they basically came out and said they don't care if a guy is 220, if he has speed, they want him. Like, they want
that
him
was
on
Dan.
The field.
Dan that was that. Campbell. That was Dan. Yeah.
So yeah, you look at Patricia, a guy with 220 would have been riding the bench. It doesn't matter if he was the fastest dude on the field. He would have been riding the bench. So
he wants, and he the way he brought it up is smart as hell. I mean, duh. I mean, he said he wants his big boys up front, which is the front four. You want them big. You don't want the linebackers big because, you know, you got to be athletic. You want them to play sideline, sideline. That's how it should be. But fucking Patricia, man.
Like, are you guys buying into the hype?
Am I buying into the hype? No, I want to see it. I want to see it first before I write Chris Schultz.
We have to make predictions right now. No coward. Does Jelani Tavai make the 53-man roster?
Like, way too early prediction, you're saying right now?
Yeah, just like you have to say one right now. Gunpoint to your head. Does Tavai make the
53-man? Oh, shit.
I'm going to say
no, too.
You say no? I'm going to say...
Go with the clean sweep.
I'm going to say yes, man.
Oh, okay. So who does he beat? Does he beat Jalen Reeves-Maven for the spot?
Nah, Jalen Reeves maybe is valuable on special teams, too.
And I think he's good on special teams. What's the other Hamilton? Is Hamilton the line? Is the other guy?
Yeah, he's actually – so, yeah, Sean Dion Hamilton's on the team as well.
Yeah, he could beat that guy. I don't know.
Okay, so you usually carry what, like 5-6 linebackers going into the season?
So Collins, Barnes, and Evans, right, I'd say, are locks.
I see. Yeah,
and I think Maven's a lock, too.
So that's 4.
So you
and
have
then your
one
fifth
spot.
Is right there. And then your fifth is Jelani.
It could be Jelani.
Yeah. If he got faster, he plays faster, and he's smart, you know, plays smart, then he could have a roster spot.
And I think even if he makes the team, I don't think his role would be like
I don't see him starting. I don't have him as starting.
Can I change my answer? Because we don't have anybody else to really beat him. I'm trying to think. Who would even take his spot?
That's what I'm saying. Like, can one of these guys, like, ball agent. Out?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen.
Like Gilbert, Anthony Pittman.
Yeah, like, I just don't see that happening.
No, he's an edge guy. Pittman's more on the like outside linebacker. He's not really inside.
Okay, so
like, who's there to beat
so
him?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think as of right now, for saying we have to choose the answer right now, I would say yes too, because we don't have anybody else to really compete and take that, like, a legitimate, in my opinion, to take the shot.
I don't see him starting. I can tell you that now.
I don't either. But I just don't see any other guy taking his spot.
Unless he has a hell of a preseason.
Unless there's a guy that has like a crazy impact on special teams as well.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, you guys are ready to start the Q&As?
Yeah, let's do it.
Man, bring them up, man. Bring up the people.
So we have Nathan here.
Pick up the pieces.
What's up, Nathan?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Big dog Nate.
What's up, man?
We're pretty good, bro.
Hey, man, it's been a minute since I heard from y'all. I wonder if y'all are going to keep talking.
Yeah, no, we here, man. We here. We plotting.
Yeah, yeah. I figured. Hey, man. I don't know if y'all caught the Pat McAfee reaction to him wearing the helmet. Or the Dan Campbell hating, like they were talking about him wearing that helmet because he was a Grand Marshal. But, man, I'll say this, man. I have not been excited for a Lions head coach in years. And I get it. You know, if you don't quite wins on the field, it's not going to matter anything. But at least you can say as a Lions fan, damn it, we got a fun coach. Like, this coach makes me want to go play for him, like, or be right on his team. You know, I equate Dan Campbell and Matt Patricia to, like, school. You know, Matt Patricia was that teacher that you hated going to class, and you're like, man, fuck that teacher, you know? I hate this. I'm going to quit school. and then Dan Campbell comes along, and he's like that substitute teacher that just is cool as shit. Like, he just lets you do whatever you want to do, and you want to go to class. You want to stay in his class, and he later becomes a teacher, and you're, like, excited. You're like, hell yeah. You know, now I want to graduate from this place, you know? Like, I mean, that's how I feel as a Lions fan. I mean, like, Matt Patricia was such a Debbie Downer. Like, I drank the Kool-Aid in the first year, but second and third year, I just got tired of his crap. He didn't give us anything. He was boring, didn't make any changes. You know, Dan Campbell at least came up with fire in the first press conference. I love how he wore the helmet to the conference. I mean, he took it off, to be fair. I mean, he took off the helmet, but he's just doing it for fun. I love how he said he wanted a freaking lion on the field, an actual lion. Like, God, I really wish they would have done that, man. That would have been so cool. Can you imagine Campbell running around with a lion? That was a huge liability. I'm just saying, in a perfect world, can you imagine Campbell running around with a lion, just walking around yelling at people?
That does not seem safe.
That would be hilarious, mate.
Hey,
the whole team would be on IR, missing body parts.
But if anybody,
right off knees.
Hey, but if anybody could tame a lion, Dan Campbell could probably be that guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're probably right.
For sure.
Yo, Nathan, let me ask you a quick question, man. Just really quick. Yeah. When did you like give up on Patricia? I know you said that you was with him in the first year. Like, how long did it take you to say, "Fuck this guy"? Like.
Honestly, it was after year one because I was really, I drank the Kool-Aid year one. I really was hyped up about him because I was like, man, this guy is a defensive coordinator. We need defense. He's coming from Bill Belichick. He's had a top 10 defense there. You know, I was super excited about it. And then year two and three, I'm just like, fuck this guy, man. Like, he's so into himself.
Damn,
you know?
That was before Tyler, like, you gave up on Patricia, year two, right?
It was after the Monday night game.
Those exact date and time.
I'll tell you what it was. It was after the Monday night game. They get screwed over by Green Bay. I want to see how they respond Sunday versus Minnesota. I go to the game. They give up like 42 points. It was 42-35.
Year two, right?
It was like week eight. Yes.
Yeah, week eight.
And then the Raiders Then the Giants came along. They barely beat the Giants. Like, this guy's a fraud. They're gonna lose to Oakland. They lose to Oakland. I'm like, please just sell at the deadline. Just get what you can get for Slane Marvin. They didn't do that, and I'm like, screw this.
Honestly, too, the D Slay comments. If those were true, now I don't know. I wasn't in the locker room, but if
it
those
was
were
true.
True.
It was
100%
true.
That really lost me. We got confirmation. I'm not gonna say who, but we have confirmation that those were true.
That's terrible, before that even came out.
We got that off the record from someone. I'm not gonna say who, but we got that off the record from someone, and they said not to say anything about it, and then it came out.
That's despicable. Yeah, and that actually happened. That confirmed something's not right. Something doesn't smell right. And sure enough, like, it just went downhill after that. I love Dan Campbell, man. I love his enthusiasm. Like I said, he makes me want to go play for him, man. Like, and I see why coaches talk about how they came to come play for coach for him, and how they play for him, because he's just an exciting guy. He just brings that enthusiasm that Lion fans have been desperately wanting for years. Like, we get it. Our team sucks. We don't need to be always down about it. You know, we need somebody to say, your team sucks, but you know what? I'm here to try to change it.
So Nathan, I got a question for you and just like the Lions fans in general. I just feel like there's no middle ground with Dan Campbell, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like either people are too low on Dan Campbell and just like not even giving him a chance.
Right.
Or people are just like too like excited about him and like think he's 100% going to flip over.
You're absolutely right. And I feel like as Lions fans, that's how we are in general. We never can be middle grounded. We either drink the Kool-Aid every year like we always do before the season starts, or we're just like so pessimistic after the season's over that we're gonna suck and we're gonna lose all our games next year. I mean, I feel like you have to be that way. You know, now people that are down on Dan Campbell, I want to know why. I mean, I want to know why you hate him.
Or why you're
such a hater. Like, the guy hasn't done nothing to really have you hate
Joy
him.
Taylor.
I can tell you why. What's up?
I can tell you why. Well, it's not true, but I'm just saying, like, the reason why is because he's Detroit Lions head coach. Yeah. I think no matter who we would have got, they would have shitted on us.
Okay,
well, I think if they would have got like a guy like Bieniemy, or they would have got some more of a sexier name that people have heard of, they might have been a little bit more enthusiastic about it.
Doubt it.
If you hire Bieniemy though, you're not getting this energy you're getting right now either. Bieniemy is kind of like
No. But I think you're saying by the national media, you get more love from the national.
Oh,
media
absolutely. From yeah.
I think he's right. Like, I think Nathan
Dan
right.
Campbell.
He's
I mean, right,
yeah.
I don't know.
Dan Campbell. When we hired him, I'll be honest with you guys, I really did not remember the guy. I remember him from Miami, but I had to read up on him. I mean, I'm an Aggie fan, so I remember he played for Texas A&M. The guy's hard as nose. Like, he's big. He's a big dude. He can still play football. I mean, look how big the dude is.
I've been watching him when he was playing for the Lions, so I've been watching him for a minute.
And then we had fat ass Patricia, 3 years. Guy looked like every year he got fatter.
I'll say this though, and I'm not sure if you guys can all agree with me with this. I don't think I've been ever excited as much I am now from a staff from top to bottom.
I agree, man. Aubrey Pleasant. You know, you guys talk about losing coaches. If we lose AG, which probably will happen because AG is going to be a coach somewhere, I guarantee you.
Yep.
Aubrey Pleasant will step in. If we lose Lan Deuce will step into the OC coordinator. So Dan Campbell's not only getting good assistants, strong assistants at the positions, he's also getting backups just in case, and he'll continue to do that. So I'm not worried.
Like, you guys remember right plan Patricia's staff? Do you guys remember Patricia's first staff when you got it?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All I remember is Paul Pasqualoni.
Remember your boy Paul Pasqualoni?
Jim Bob Cooter.
Remember your boy Paul?
Hey, don't do my dog Paul like that.
Remember your dog Paul?
Shout out to Grandpa Paul, bro. Shout out to Grandpa Paul.
Shit. Yo, to this day, we still don't know what Paul did.
He was a scapegoat.
He was a floating head, man.
He was a scapegoat.
Like, I could picture him walking into the meeting and just standing there while Patricia.
Yo, remember we had that player?
I was just gonna say that. You remember we had Michael Jackson on it? He goes, they're just talking at the same time. It just, it was weird.
He said they finished each other's sentences.
Yeah,
that's like, wild.
We're like, we actually was like, yo, does Paul do it? Like, what does he do? Like, does he call plays?
We were straight up. We're like, what is
he Paul's role? He had no purpose on that team.
He's like, man. Sometimes it's Paul. Sometimes it's Patricia. It's like, well, who does it? What does Paul do? Why is he there?
I mean, dude, doing from a college defensive line coach, which obviously had a bunch of experience from like previous jobs, but one from a college football. Not even a, what do you call it, SEC or Big Ten, the freaking ACC, defensive line coach, and not Clemson, it's Boston College defensive line coach from coming to an NFL defensive coordinator.
I think
he's the guy who probably banged the table for Will Harris. It just kind of feels like
who you think it was, Patricia? You think it was Paulie?
I mean, they're both. It was both Boston College. It makes sense.
Yeah, it could have been. Paul Parker's like, I like that guy.
I know everybody's shitting on Will Harris, but I'm going to say this right now. There's a reason why we did not take a safety high, because they want to see what Will Harris has this year before next year when we have two draft picks in the first round. They want to see what we have in Will Harris, and I'm telling you right now, my surprise player this year is going to be Will Harris.
Okay, so Nathan,
Man. Happy. I'm telling you, yeah, the stuff you can't teach.
All right, speed and length.
So Nathan,
does the same thing go with Quintez Cephas then? Because they didn't address the wide receiver position barely, or they barely addressed it.
I think to some extent. I mean, I think people are sleeping on Tyrell Williams. I think Tyrell Williams, when healthy, was a really good receiver, and he's fast and he's big.
But here's the thing, Nathan: when healthy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true, and you can say that about a lot of players. But I'm just saying, if he stays healthy, I think he'll be effective. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is Golden Tate 2.0, in my opinion.
Yeah, we had Jordan Reed on that player set too.
You know, Quintez Cephas, I think, could be solid. I think he could be a good solid two. I'm not believing Brashad Pyramid, man. His camp is really disappointing me, and he might actually get cut before the season's over. Before the season starts, in my opinion.
That would be bad. The Lions would not have like much. To me, Cephas is a wide receiver four right now.
Hey, but yeah, you got a lot of UDFAs that don't sleep on those guys either. I mean, there's going to be a lot of open competition for those. So you
just Jonathan Adams is another big best out of those two guys.
Surratt can play. I mean, he can jump. He's a big guy. I mean, you just never know.
I think if thank you for UDFA, I think the Lions are honestly the most intriguing spot, because like you legitimately have a shot at any position.
Absolutely, besides
for the quarterback position, but I think every other position, like maybe also the offensive line. I mean, you still have a shot at the offensive line as like far as a depth piece. Like, I think you could like definitely win a backup spot. But I think for UDFA, I think the Lions were one of the most sexiest spots, honestly, to sign for.
Oh, facts. Because you've got a lot of open spots. You've got a lot of open opportunity for you to shine.
Let me ask a random question.
What's that?
Let me ask a random question. Tom Kennedy's been on this practice squad for a while. Do you think this is the year that he finally gets a roster spot?
He plays hard in training camp.
I'm gonna say no.
Remember, he's not their guy. So
I know that. Yeah, I know.
He's a special teams guy, right? So he can make the roster, special teams,
slot receiver.
Yeah.
He's a returner, right?
He's like the nickel version of Danny Amendola.
Let me ask you a question. What's the biggest?
I want to say great values.
What's the biggest need on receiver, outside or inside?
For the Lions,
I would say outside. Because I think Amon-Ra's going to be your slot.
Yeah, I'm with Tyler.
Yeah.
And but I think is, if anything,
we got guys that could play. We have guys that could play outside, like Allison. He could play outside.
He's not pro. Stop.
Hey, just put.
I'm not saying he's good, but I'm saying he could play outside.
I could play the outside receiver.
Just put Hawkinson in one of those spots, bro. We'll be all right.
Bro, I'm 5'8" and a half.
You won't get off the line, bro. They'll jam you in one hand.
5'8" 150.
Tyler get jammed.
I'm like 2-2 Atwell. Off the
line. Tyler, you're gonna be in ICU after the first play.
I'm like 2-2 Atwell. Without speed. I'm 2-2 Atwell without speed.
Don't worry, guys. We're gonna get our top receiver in one of those two draft picks next year.
You think so?
Oh yeah, for sure.
The thing is with receivers, bro, like the receivers are not hard to find. There's always good ones in free agency. There are always good ones in the draft.
There's some good ones in college right now that I would definitely use a first-round pick on.
I mean, just look at the Lions. Like, look at, like, the last couple receivers that they've had. Like, Galladay obviously was a draft pick, but, like, other than that, most of these guys were free agents. Marvin Jones, very productive, fan favorite, free agent. Golden Tate, fan favorite, free agent. Like, a lot of these guys that were, like, really productive were free agent pickups, you know?
Right.
Like, they're not hard find.
No,
let me ask, guys. Julio Jones, were you surprised the Lions didn't make an offer or to try to get Julio?
No, way too much money.
He's old. His contract is not good, and the Lions are rebuilding. Why trade away Stafford and then trade for Julio? It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all.
But I will say, for Tennessee's sake, the team that's a lot closer than Detroit, and like I think you can make a legit argument that they're like one or two pieces away. I really like the move for Tennessee, and I hate the move for Atlanta.
Well, him and Brown, bro, on opposite sides is scary.
Right.
And Derrick Henry is the running back.
If you want to sack the box, okay, we're just going to throw it up to Julio or AJ. If you don't want to sack the box, okay, we'll run up Derrick Henry.
Like, pick your poison.
It's going to be hard to game plan against that team if they're healthy.
I was just saying that, like, to someone, like, literally an hour ago, like, if you're a defensive coordinator, you got to literally pick your poison with that team.
It's going to be a headache to deal with that team if they're healthy.
Yeah.
And the thing
with Julio, like, he could, like, I know he's had the injury bug, but I think this, like, lesser role of him being a wide receiver too now, and, like, him not being the main attraction, I think he's really going to thrive. And we're going to see, like, maybe a couple years Julio Jones just because of, like, him looking potentially getting one-on-one looks and, you know, just being in a little lesser role. I'm excited to see what he could do.
I think
he's all we can hope for is – I don't know if y'all heard about Rodgers. He's not showing up to mini camp or mandatory camp.
Yeah.
Why do we talk about this?
And Davante Adams already said, man, if Rodgers don't show up, he might want to get out of there too. So, hey, you know, maybe we trade for Davante Adams.
That's not happening. There's no way they'll do that trade. There's no way they'll pull that trade off.
What do you want?
I want Rodgers to retire so the Packers don't get any picks from him. They lose him for nothing.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's what we're thinking.
And then he becomes his host on Jeopardy.
Hey, what would happen if they handcuff him?
I will say he is a very good Jeopardy host.
You watched it?
I watched one episode.
He doesn't seem like he has any personality. So I guess
no, I know, so. I know. He doesn't seem like it, but he's actually really good. Like, I actually, like, recommend people watching it. He's really good at it. He's like a nerd.
Good.
I don't know. Like, he's just good at the job. He's sophisticated. He seems like a very good host. I really like Aaron Rodgers as a host. I mean, he's a very good quarterback, obviously. But Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he's been showing his personality a lot more, like,
Yeah, he has.
And these last couple months, like, he was on SportsCenter.
The guy just seems dull as hell, man. Ever since I've seen him, he just seems dull as hell.
Yeah, and I feel the same thing as well. And I hate the guy. Hey, don't get me wrong.
I hate him too.
This guy has ruined many days in my childhood and so can say. So I don't
like
the guy.
PTSD for life. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a good Jeopardy host. I'm not going to lie.
All right. I guess I'll tune into an episode, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
I heard Joe Buck will be doing an episode in July. So
I've heard, yeah, Joe Buck. I had a chance to.
Joe Buck can do anything, man. The guy.
I'm surprised they didn't give Swiss
Army. That is something I'm not interested in watching.
I'm surprised they didn't give. I'm surprised they didn't give my dog Nate a chance. Nate Burleson.
No, Nate Burleson. Isn't Nate Burleson doing like TMZ right now? He's pretty good at that.
So Nate Burleson does a lot of shit, bro.
I love.
They're
Nate.
Saying Nate could be like the next. Who's that dude on ABC Good Morning?
Strahan.
Yeah, they were. I read something that said like Nate Burleson could be like the next straight hand.
Nate's got a lot of personality, man.
He's awesome.
Yeah, the thing with Nate, like, you know, we're talking about like big time football players. Like Rodgers, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. Strahan was a phenomenal player. Like Nate Burleson, like just rebranded his name because like he was good, but like you know he wasn't like a superstar by any means. So like I'm happy for Nate, like and how he kind of rebranded his career because like
absolutely.
You know everyone knows about Nate Burleson now. Like you know what he's doing on NFL Network and
what he does. He has swag, like the type of swag that's like man. I like
and
that
he
guy.
Has a huge
I want him
love
to do
for
my
the Lions,
show.
Man. Huge love for the Lions.
Yeah, I love
that's
Nate.
Why. Yo, I mean to this day, I mean guys, who's my favorite Detroit Lion?
Burleson.
Nate
Burleson. Who said me? Goddammit. No, man.
wait,
Nate Burleson,
Lions?
My favorite Detroit Lion player, is crazy. I mean, he wasn't
Sanders,
like the best
dude,
player.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yo, Barry Sanders, Yeah, I love Barry.
No, don't say that.
Awesome. Barry's the reason why I became a Lions fan. But it's something about Nate, man. Nate Burleson's like, oh, man. Nate's up there, bro.
I'm not taking him over Barry.
I'm not saying he's the best. He's not the best, but he's just my favorite. Everybody has their favorite Detroit Lion, you know? Like, Tyler, your favorite Detroit Lion is Golden Tate, right?
Darius Slay, Golden Tate.
Darius Slay, Golden Tate. Pierre, who's your favorite Lion? Is it
Calvin Stafford?
The thing is, though, Stafford and Kelvin got me into the Lions, though, right?
Yeah, the same thing. See, me and you are similar. Barry got me.
He
got me
in
the door. Well, I mean, I'm 34.
Me and Malcolm are huge age difference.
Oh, you're the same age I am. Yeah, Barry's still mine. I'm sorry.
Barry's got me in.
Calvin's a 2 and Stafford's 3 for me.
See, I think Barry got me in the door.
Yeah.
And I love Barry, and he's my favorite running back of all time.
Barry will always be the
But as far as, like, personality and firing up the Lions, man, Nate Burleson, bro, I'm telling you. Like, you got his pregame speeches, bro. Nate Burleson's a fire these guys up, man.
If you talk about firing up the Lions, how about just Stafford, man? Just go back and watch Cowboys when he's mic'd up at that Cowboys
That game's bringing tears to my eyes. I don't want to talk about this. I get emotional because he's not on the Lions anymore, man. So I don't want to talk about
this. Excuse me, did you do that with the Rams today?
Hey, I'm past it, bro. I'm past it. You know,
it's gonna be hard.
I hope. I love the guy, but I hope he loses every game because we have their pick.
Come on, man. You know that shit ain't gonna happen unless he gets injured.
I'm just saying, bro. Like, I'm being honest. Like, as a Lions fan, I want him to have success, but I don't want his team to have success.
So I've told Pierre this. This is how I feel about Stafford and the Rams this year. It's like they either – I hope they win it all or I hope they suck ass. Like I don't want them just making the playoffs and losing the NFC Championship because that does nothing for me because it will be a high 20s pick. Stafford gets knocked out. I have to hear on Twitter how he's overrated and he should not have been treated for all that cap or whatever. Either suck ass completely or win a Super Bowl. That's all
Why do you want to see Stafford win it all, man? That would break my heart. I mean, I love Stafford. Don't get me wrong. But seeing him win a championship in another uniform, I would die.
Yo, if he won it all, I'd be so happy for him.
That's like having your ex-girlfriend who, like, her new boyfriend's a celebrity. Her next boyfriend is, like, Darius Slay. You're like, fuck. And she's like in the Benz. And, you know, she's all this stuff. And he's buying her stuff. You're like, fuck.
I know you guys don't care about this. But I've already gone through this. So, like, I've already gone past it. The Tigers' whole staff from 2014 has won a World Series since they left.
Every single guy. That is wild.
I mean, that's how it was the Knicks. I mean, I saw Iman Shumpert and all those boys winning.
These guys are like our superstars, and they contributed to like winning the World Series for their team. Now, like, they were the main guys, you know.
Man. It's about player development. We didn't have it.
Like Stafford's my Justin Verlander
coaches.
So
I mean, I don't know. I think whatever pick we get, I think whether it's pick 32 or pick 5, whatever pick that we get from the Rams, I think I believe in. Holmes and the boys.
Yeah.
So I don't care, man. I actually want to see Stafford have success, bro. I'm tired of everybody hating on him.
I'm not hating on him, bro. I want him to be successful too. I just don't want him to win it all.
Not people who think illogical is like, all right, I want him to be bad so we can have a better draft. Not those people. I'm talking about the people who from day one is saying Stafford sucks. Stafford can't win. Stafford had to win a playoff game. It's those people. Is those people who say Stafford sucks, Stafford can't do this, Stafford can't do that.
But you got to look at the bigger picture, man. When has he ever had a good running game? When has he ever had a good defense?
I mean...
Well, you're asking the wrong people that.
We're with you.
He's got that this year. So that's where, you know, that's the proving the people exactly. wrong, basically.
So exactly. So if he fails with this team, those people who are saying Stafford sucks, they're like, see, I told you Stafford sucks. He couldn't win there. He can't win here.
It's going to get loud if he struggles with the Rams. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, I think in this Rams tenure, or doesn't even like get close, I think that there's like definitely like, you know, you could say he's overrated and stuff like that.
I just don't think
that's going to happen. But I think if he doesn't get it done,
Super Bowl? I think even if he wins a playoff game.
When you look at the Rams, though, they're like an injury away from being fucked because Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and Matthew Stafford, those three guys are so important to the team. If Ramsey goes down, that's a big loss. If Donald goes down, that's a big loss. And I'd say anytime he's a starting quarterback, especially.
But that's the NFL. Like, everyone's always losing guys.
Not for long. Not for long.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, their depth isn't as strong. They lost a lot of guys in free agency.
They don't have a lot of depth. You're right. They don't have a lot of depth.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah.
Previous years they did, but now their depth is just not what it was. Like, they lost, who's that corner that signed with the Browns?
The Browns.
Jalen Johnson.
No.
Yeah, the safety. The safety. Yeah, they also lost the corner. I think, like, it was the corner I wanted that they had. I forgot his name. They lost their starting safety. They lost the depth corners. Like,
I know they lost Roby Coleman, too.
Yeah, so they had a lot of defense.
So, Tyler,
Michael Brockers.
Quinn.
Yeah, they lost Brockers.
Or no, Quinn's there.
So, no, I said Abukum, no, Robert Quinn's in Chicago. Abukum,
right?
But I said if Stafford doesn't get the job done in 3 years of, like, going to the NFC Championship, at least, I think there's – you could say he's overrated. It just depends how it is. Yeah. So it depends how it goes down.
So you think Stafford has to win the ring? He has to win a ring with the Rams to have some type of, I guess, success for his
Or at least
career?
Get him to the chip. Or at least get him to
he's got to get to at least the NFC
I don't think it's all him. It also matters who's around him. Like, obviously on paper they look good, but they got to stay healthy too.
No, I'm saying, like, if they're, like, scoring 45 points and they're just losing games, like, okay, it's a different story. But,
that's
like,
a tough division too, guys. Everybody's really good in that division, so it's not going
to I think Seattle is a 49ers. Little overrated. I think Seattle's a little overrated just because, like, their O-line is not that good and their defense is not
just freaking stinks.
Yeah, but, like,
Russell is a good quarterback.
DK Metcalf, so they're kind of like the Lions, like how the Lions were back in the day. Like, you have a really high octane offense, not the best running game, not the best O line, not the best defense either. Seattle's kind of in a weird spot right now too.
Let me ask you a question. Todd Gurley talk, is that smoke or is that actual real?
There's fire to that.
No, it's real.
It's as real as it could be, bro. Shit, as real as it could get.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's announced in the next couple of days or something like that. Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked if it's right now. If I see
how does he fit in the rotation with Williams and Swift and Gurley?
I think what it is, Nathan, like, when you look at the running backs room, there are a lot of young guys. Like, I think Jamal Williams is 26, right? Swift is, like, he's entering his second year. Those guys haven't really, like, been leaders. Todd Gurley was a team captain for the Rams. I think it's more like a leadership type of role versus, like, taking their carries away type of role, if you know what I mean.
Hey, Pierre, though, like, not even, like, experience. I mean, where am I trying to go here? After those top two guys, literally every guy is essentially a UDFA.
Right. And there is not much. Like, Jamar Jefferson, we don't really know what we're going to see from him. He might make the roster.
I mean, he was, like, the last third. He was a bottom the last third. What am I trying to say? He was one of the last picks in the NFL draft. He was almost Mr. Allback.
Yeah. You guys are not, like, a little scared? Like, just a tiny bit scared?
Nope. Scared of, he wouldn't be, like RB1 or RB2. He'd probably be RB3 or RB4.
The reason why I'm saying that is because for some reason, I just don't see Todd Gurley having that type of role. That's just me.
Yeah.
Just because of his name. And then on top of that, Brad Holmes, like, pretty much brought this guy in. And they already have a trust factor. I'm terrified.
I think
what are you terrified of?
I think we got to go back.
Todd Gurley doesn't have knees. Bro.
I think if this was a couple months ago, I'd be concerned. If they signed him and Jamal Williams back in March, that's different. But we're in, like, the start of June right now, and, like, we're in the start of OTAs. He hasn't got signed by anybody, and there's been zero interest. That seems like anywhere besides the Lions.
Feel
right
like
now.
It's only came from the Lions. Maybe other teams are. We just haven't heard.
It's just, like, I don't think people look at Gurley anymore. Is this? This, you know, 1A or 1B back anymore. I think they view him as a running back 3, and that's what the Lions are going to do. I think they're going to, if they do sign him, I think it's going to be a contract with very minimal guarantees, and you have to earn that spot in camp. If Jamar Jefferson outbeats him, I think Jamar Jefferson outbeats him, but I don't see that happening.
All I know is that if the guy can get a damn 1 yard on a game, then I'm good with him. Because we have not had a running back who can get one freaking yard, man.
Well, he got enough yards for us last year. But wasn't on our team, but you got enough
yards.
You
know what it is? It's the what happened to us a few years ago. I know there's a different regime, but the whole Adrian Peterson thing, I think, is just
Adrian Peterson, LeGarrette Blount, CJ Anderson.
I know, but you saw how Adrian Peterson was like. Because of that, it's like, oh shit! You know, it's like, oh, here we go again. That's the only reason why.
So. I would be more worried if it was Gurley behind Swift, but it's Swift, Williams, and then Gurley. So to have a third running back of that caliber at that kind of experience, I'm okay with that because I know that the multiple of the carries are going to go to Swift and Williams.
Yeah, and then it was Anthony Lynn. He said whoever's the hot hand during the game, that's who we're going to go to. Like, yeah, if like running that. Back that's is feeling sure. it, mm-hmm. that's awesome.
So they're going to
Patricia, damn it. We is that the plan? Guys, like after 2-3 runs.
Is that the plan? So they're going to run all three guys?
Like what Shanahan does. You know how Shanahan does? He runs his guys to whoever's high he feeds him.
Hey, put Swift in the slot, man. Shoot.
We talk about Swift as a running back, but Swift as a receiver, he's really dynamic too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I could see multiple scenarios where they have like two backs at the same time on the field.
Oh my god. How long have we been asking for that?
I think my whole Lions fandom. Like since they had Theoretic, I'm like, dude, put another back.
Oh, yeah. No,
put another back.
It's been since we first started this podcast. Yeah, I think since we first started.
They did do it with Joyk and Reggie. That was Lenny.
We weren't doing the pod at the time. I think
no, we were not.
I think that since our first pod, since we've had Theo Riddick, I've wanted two backs every time. And every time I saw like a little snippet of it in training camp, I'm like, oh, we're doing this. We're doing this. I was so blind. I'm like, I saw one play, but I'm like, we're doing this all year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not buying that they're going to pass as much as they're going to run. I think this is going to be a running football team, and they're going to play the play action because of Goff's arm. And the fact that they have Williams who has got speed, I think it's going to be a running. It's going to be a running team.
Who thought this was going to be a running team?
I think it's going to be a run based off play action. That's what they're going to try.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be like Seattle back in the day when they had Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, kind of like also when you look at Goff when he had his best years when they had a running game with Ty Gurley and then the play action and the bootlegs kind of
quick throws. Goff
actually
quick
throws well.
Yeah,
when he like runs to the side, sort of like on his bootlegs.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens.
I'm not really concerned about Todd, like, just being this, you know, 1A back signing with the Lions.
Who cares, man? If he's our third running back, who cares? That's a good third running back to have. I'd rather have him than a Jefferson or some other idiot.
See, I wouldn't necessarily say that because I think those guys have potential. I want to see those guys before.
Jefferson could be practice squad this year.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what those guys – maybe they take the running back 3 spot. They have a really good camp, you know?
The
you know,
kid they I mean, signed is intriguing, too. They released Rakeem Boyd. They signed – what's his face?
Warren.
Michael Warren. He's a big back. He's very intriguing.
He's a bruiser.
Yeah. I'm going to end it. If anyone else wants to add anything before we end this, do you guys want to say anything else or
– Love, peace, and soul.
This is fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
this was a lot of fun, man.
Especially, we gotta have our Lions fixed, man. It's too quiet without Lions talk.
Yes, so sir, Nathan, man, Nathan, are you coming week one to Detroit?
Am I coming to week one to Detroit? Oh man, probably not, man. I gotta look at the schedule and see what's open. I've been debating if I want to go to a game this year because I just feel like. Oh, it could be a rough season, but then who knows, man? I gotta see how the minicamp looks like.
You see, you come week one, we're 0-0, so we're 500 at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
What if they get blown out though, bro? It's like shit.
Yeah,
if it's by Trey Lance, it's okay.
We'll see. it's possible. I gotta look at the schedule. I definitely want to come to the Lions game because the last one I went to was the Cowboys. And Driscoll was the quarterback, and I was really pissed about that.
Oh, shit.
Oh yeah.
So I've heard you see Driscoll freaking throw be a quarterback. God dang it.
So yeah, you gotta go early, bro.
I've heard a lot of Lions fans, you know, they're booking their trip to LA this year for Lions Rams. So that's, I mean,
what is that, week 15? What week is that?
No, it's earlier in the year. It's like week 7.
Week 7?
So it's like middle in the year.
I might not watch that game because that's going to be too emotional for me.
I'm pretty sure it's in October.
Seeing number 9 on the other side is going to suck.
Oh, Leo says he's going to be there.
I'm watching every game.
Leo, LA or the San Francisco game? You can save it. LA. Oh, he's going to LA.
Nice. Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, that. SoFi Stadium looks beautiful, too. So I would.
It does, man.
Yeah, that might
I still don't
know what
game.
I also don't know what game I'm coming to. I still don't know what game I'm going to.
You're coming to week 1 versus San Francisco.
That's what we're doing? Week 1?
We're doing that 100%.
Malcolm, come down to training camp too if you could.
Wait, is training camp open to the fans?
Yes, it should be. Yeah, it should be.
Let me see. All right. When they schedule the dates, I'll see if I can take some days.
They're in July. They're in July.
Yeah, it's late July, early August.
Do any of y'all have access to the training to the camps at all, or just what like the
fans? Not OTAs, but training camp we go. Yeah.
Yeah, training camp we go. OTAs we don't have media credentials. Yeah,
hopefully one day. For
them. Yeah, hopefully one day we'll have them.
But, gotta work on that, boys. Gotta work on that.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. But, so, Malcolm, yeah, you're coming week one versus San Fran.
Week one versus San Fran. Let's do it.
Okay.
Who think is going to be the quarterback?
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Nah, I'm going to say Lance.
Big Lance?
I think Lance is going to throw
Lance in right away.
I wish it was my dog.
Oh, Mac my Jones. God. Oh, my Who? God. If it was Mac Jones. Jones.
Mac Jones.
Number 50, Mac Jones.
Number 50, Mac Jones. Yeah.
Number 50, Mac Jones.
He's been disappointing in camp.
He was?
He's playing for McDaniels.
It's all right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, we have to close this. All right, guys. I'm out.
I hope you guys all enjoyed.
Hey, Malcolm, one question.
What's up?
Hey, I noticed you're a Knicks fan, bro. We need to chop it up, man, because I'm a Knicks fan, too.
Let's do it one day. We'll talk about it.
Maybe we can even do a podcast or something.
We'll see. I like your train of thought.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you my email in the chat here, and hit me up, man.
Oh wait! Don't do that because I have an Android and I can't see the chat at all.
Oh,
I'm
on the beta version.
Do you have IG or Twitter, Nate?
Neither one.
You don't have Twitter?
I got a life.
All right. Shoot.
We'll be back on here again. You guys could
see. You could drop it, and I'll just like copy and paste your screenshot.
Then he'll send it to me.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, man. Hey, good talking to y'all, like always.
All right. Yes, all right, boy. Appreciate you, Nathan. Take it easy, man.
All right, later.
All right, peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.